We left off last week, just beginning to analyze the quickest rational process in the beginning of Lulav Gozel as to why Lulav HaYavish is possible. The Mishnah presents it as it is number quickest. Actually, the Gemara quotes an opinion, maybe they even question it, very didn't, but the mice in the Mishnah presents it. And that's where we pass it. Lulav HaYavish is outright possible, but it's unclear as why is it possible. So the Machlekes Rashi and Tosafos spotted as almost like a very localized, very almost a technical Machlekes. They very, very quickly branched out to become a fundamental Yisodistic Machlekes that touched upon the very essence of what Hidda Mitzvah is or is not about. The Rashi introduced the Din Klali of Hidda Mitzvah, Zekeli Vimvei. Rashi connected it to the Sugya Masechet Shabbos, and that is the reason why the Lulav HaYavish is possible. And Tosafos has had many questions, but the primary question of Tosafos was, is that where do we find that Hidda Mitzvah is ma'akev? If anything, we find in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph, Hidda Mitzvah is not ma'akev. So how do we explain Rashi? So he pointed out there are different dargahs, or different degrees of Hidda Mitzvah. The Hidda Mitzvah in the Cheftza, a Lulav HaYavish, is a posel even medievit. The Hidda Mitzvah in the Maisa and the Tila of requiring Eger, of tying the Lulav HaDas and Rabbis together, that's most probably only Lechet Chila. Then we added, and we took this one step further, and we said that the Ritva in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph connects the question whether Hidda Mitzvah is ma'akev or not to a more basic, a more fundamental question: is Hidda Mitzvah really midaraisa or not? If it's deraisa, then it would make sense. It would be ma'akev. If it's only midirabanon, so then maybe it's not ma'akev. And then the Ritva goes on to say that if it's deraisa, so it's not possible for it not to be ma'akev. I mean, if it's deraisa, there's no such category, no such category in halacha called the lechatchila on the level of deraisa. So the Gemara is talking about Hidda Mitzvah being something that's only lechatchila, that by definition it cannot be deraisa. And again, we question Mishael tells the needle last week, the questions that vary yourself. So we have a lot of things flying around here in terms of Hidda Mitzvah. Is Hidda Mitzvah always lechatchila, sometimes b'diavad? Is it the mitzvah deraisa, derabanan? And those two issues may very well be linked to one another. So let's go to the basic question, the most basic fundamental question. Is Hidda Mitzvah really a problem in the Torah? Is that really true? That Hidda Mitzvah disqualifies something sometimes on the level of deraisa? Whereas the whole Hidda Mitzvah, the whole Zekeh and Hakamikokal, is only something that's derabanan, it's only something that's lechatchila. It doesn't speak to us on the level of deraisa altogether. So there is a very pivotal Gemara that appears in Maseches Gittin. I think the last week of the Maram Kamas. The Gemara in Maseches Gittin, you need a little bit of a background to learn the Sugya, and then hopefully we'll be able to appreciate, to extract what's significant from this Sugya for our purposes. So the Sugya begins on Daf Chaf and Aleph in Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara is talking about, at first glance, nothing to do with the Mitzvah. The Gemara is talking about the intricacies of writing a get. And one of the basic ABCs of Hilchos Gittin is that a get has to be written with Shema, because of law, so for precepts. It has to be written with Shema, it has to be written for the purpose of that woman, for that man, for the purpose of Gavishin. That's a clear cut dimin Torah, no question whatsoever. A get has to be written with Shema. So it comes to the Gemara at the top of Chafam and Aleph, and Gittin raised the following Shaila. Six lines from the top, and middle one, Amr Chizda. Get Shekasva Shalol Lishma. A get was written not Lishma. It was written for this Rachel, now you want to use it for another Rachel. So there's no question that the get, the way it stands now, is possible with the Raisa. So rather than ripping up the paper and starting all over again with another piece of paper, so the guy has a chap. The Hebrew of Kulmus Lishma. He decides, he goes back to the inkwell, takes that as a feather again, and he actually traces over each and every letter. But this time, Hindi Mukham Zum Lashaim, Gavishim Lashaim, Rachel Lashaim, Yaakov, etc. He is Kaysim, the second time around, with the appropriate Lishma. The problem is that he's merely writing over pre existing letters. And that runs into a very, very serious progression of Ksav Agab Ksav. Generally, the starting point in Halacha is that Ksav Agab Ksav does not really count for anything. Even in Chashav is the Moshe, there's a pre existing letter. And I just add some more ink to that letter, just make it a little darker, a little thicker. That's not called kosev for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos. So l'chora that wouldn't be called kosev for the purpose of Hilchos Gittin. So why is the Gemara even talking about it? What's Rav Chisda speaking about? So the Rishonim explain on the spot that where Rav Chisda Baslin is as follows. True, the halacha is that ksav agav ksav is meaningless. The reason why it's meaningless is because it's meaningless. Because you didn't accomplish anything. You just simply put more ink on something that already existed. You didn't change anything. So when you do a maisa of putting ink on paper that doesn't accomplish anything, that's not called kosev. That's called putting ink on paper. Kosev means I had a blank piece of paper, and now I have all story. Now I see my name. Now I have a whole letter. That's an act of kosev. just simply putting ink on top of pre-existing ink is garnished. That's not called kaisim and kol terek kula, not for Shabbos, not for Sefer Torah, not for tefillin, not for mezuzah, not for get for nothing. That's not called an ethics. So what does Rav Chisda believe that when the second kosev is done the Shema, that may qualify as kosev? For exactly that reason. Because what you're doing is significant. What you're doing is changing. So true, in the physical world, you're not changing anything. It used to be a black aleph, and now vayit, it's a black aleph. But it used to be a shalol l'shmotik aleph. Now it's a l'shmotik aleph, so you're being meisif davar. You're adding a component, you're adding a characteristic. And maybe that additional characteristic of the Shema and the Olam HaSalayim in the world of Halacha is enough to elevate your second action as a Maisik Siva. So that's how Taisus explains, that's what's going on. That's where Chizda even dreamt, even in the wildest dreams, that notwithstanding the din, the Ksav, Gav, Ksav is meaningless, if the second Ksav adds the dimension of the Shema, maybe that would be acceptable. So that's from Chizda Shas, Omer of Chizda. Get Shekasa Shalom L'Shema, the Hever Lach Kol Mashul L'Shema, Bonu Machlek Shabudu V'Rabbanu. So Rav Chisda claims that this very shaila, whether the second kosev, if done l'shma, constitutes an act of ksav, is actually rooted in a machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. What's the shaila? So Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan, we're not arguing about a gift, we're talking about something else, but it's the same type of shaila. Deciding, learned it in Braisa. Harei shay yitzach l'chtav es Hashem. A person's about to write the Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah. So there's a din that when you write a Sefer Torah, you write Tefillin Mezuzos, not only is there a halacha that you have to write the entire entity l'shma, everything has to be done the Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, but when you get to each and every Shem Hashem, you have to make another Kiddush, you have to Mekadosh Hashem, you have to write the Shem Hashem l'shem Kedusha Hashem. So there are two halachas when you write any Dvarim Shem Kedusha. Number one, there's a general din that every single letter has to be written l'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, and there's an additional halacha that the Shem has to be written l'shem Kedusha Hashem as well. There's a beyond the scope right now. There's a brisker rub that talks about, are these the same halachas? Are they two different halachas? Are they just two sides of the same coin? Or maybe they're radically different again? Another time, another place. But everyone agrees that everybody, when we pass in the such a din, you need ksivas sefer Torah l'shma, you need ksivas haskar, ksivas Hashem l'shma as well. So this fellow is about to write the Shem Hashem, and he's not paying too careful attention. When he's kavan lichtov Yehuda, he thinks he's about, he sees Yud Kei Vav Kei, because he wasn't paying such careful attention to the Tikkun, and he thinks it's time to write Yehuda. So he's about to write Yehuda. Now that's clearly not called L'Shem Hashem. He doesn't even know that he's writing L'Shem Hashem, so clearly that's lacking in Kavana. But listen to this fellow, he's a real goof, this guy. He's double half asleep. V'tah, so again, he's supposed to write Yud Kei Vav Kei. He thought he's supposed to write Yehuda, and then when he wrote Yehuda, he made another mistake. What was the second mistake? He forgot to write the Dalal in Yehuda. So one mistake cancels out the other. By golly, what does he have? He's got a beautiful Yud Kei Vav Kei written there, which was written Shalom L'Shma. So the way it is now, it's possible. The way it is now, the Pasha says the same Torah is possible there, Isa. Is there any way for him to rectify it? So he's got the right letters there, but the wrong Kavana. So Rabbi Yehuda has a Gevaldik Chiddush. It's interesting, Rabbi Yehuda has what to say about this topic, his name. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda says, no big deal. Take out some more ink and rewrite over the Yud Kei Vav Kei. This time doing it L'Shem Kedushas Hashem, and Shalom Yisrael, and the Sefer Torah will be kosher. So that's valid. How could that be valid? The second writing is meaningless. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda subscribed to that idea that since the second writing is significant, it's different than the first writing. The first writing was the Shalom L'Shem Kedushas Hashem. The second one is L'Shem Kedushas Hashem. That additional component is enough to salvage the Sefer Torah. That was Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush. The Chacham Raimim Ein Hashem Min Avodchar. And the Chacham said, no, nothing doing. That Shem Hashem is not acceptable. And therefore, presumably, the entire Sefer Torah would be possible. What's the sheet of the Chachamim? So what's the Sefer of the Chachamim? Chacham didn't buy it. The Sefer of the Chacham say, this is still called Ksav Agav Ksav. Notwithstanding that Lom de Shavur, that you have somehow a spiritual entity or something, that's irrelevant. If in the world of Elam Hazeh, it's the same thing, you're putting vayit to ink on the same ink that was there before, that's also subject to the din of Ksav Agav Ksav being meaningless. So that's the way Rav Chisda presents the Shaila. If that's the Rekudas Machlaikis, we beat him the Chachamim, this Machlaikis has nothing to do with Sefer Torah. Quite frankly, this Machlaikis has nothing to do with Kisvei HaKadosh Bechlal. What does this Machlaikis have to do with? It's a nuanced Machlaikis, the Lomdish Machlaikis within the din of Ksav Agav Ksav. Is there an exception to the rule when the second Ksav adds the dimension of L'Shma? According to Rav Yehuda, yes, that changes the rules. Bein L'Sefer Torah, Bein L'Gittin. And the Chum said, oh, Shabbat Adam Zinayim, that doesn't affect anything. So that's a Rav Chisda learned Pshat in the Braisa. So it's a fascinating sugya. A lot of lomdas of Rav Chisda just said, but so far it's irrelevant to our discussion. It's about to become relevant very, very quickly. Rav Achav Yaakov turns around to Rav Chisda and says, no, that is not the Pshat in the Machlokes. Duma Lohi, maybe you're not correct. Maybe that's not the point of contention between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. It could be that everybody subscribes to that second ksav being a valid ksav. And therefore, Nuchos Git, and that would be perfectly okay, because that's not limited by ksavah gam ksav being not acceptable, because the second ksav is adding the element of Lishma. So why did the Chachamim shepherd Rav Yehuda? Why didn't the Chachamim accept Rav Yehuda? I'm like the person who's writing this story for Yehuda. Amr of Acha Bar Yaakov. Duma Lohi. Ad kan lo ka'amir Rabbanim Hossam. El deba'ina zekei levia en vehu. Now I can really begin to see how this affects that sugya. V'leika. Halacha Lohi. Says, V'acha Bar Yaakov. The Chachamim fundamentally agree to Rabbi Yehuda. From the vantage point of Uchas Kaysay, Rav Yehuda's right. The second ksav is meaningful, it's significant, it's adding a dimension of Lishma, and therefore it's called the Maisa Kos. So why do the Chachamim have problems with Rav Yehuda's conclusion? Because of a quirk in Uchas Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah has to look nice, the Shemesh has to look pretty, and this is going to look terrible. Why is this going to look terrible? Because you're going to have an entire Sefer Torah with one shade of black, and the Shemesh is going to be bold black. It's going to be, because it's going to be twice the amount of ink on it. It's going to look fun. It's going to look like a Sefer Torah Menumah. It looks spotted. It's going to look bizarre. The Shem Hashem is going to look bold. It's going to look strange. It's going to look different. That's going to detract from the beauty of the Sefer Torah. And that's the reason why the Chum had problems with it. But the Ikaron would be okay. Therefore, in a get, when you give a get, there's no mitzvah to have a beautiful get. That can look as ugly as possible. It doesn't matter. There's no that we hid the mitzvah to get. And therefore, by a get, even the Chum would subscribe to the view of Rabbi Yehuda. By Sefer Torah from Mezuzah, that's when there's going to be a problem. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So let's analyze Rav Achav Yaakov just told us. Rav Achav Yaakov is saying, Taichin Machlokes Rav Yehuda Chachamim, that Rav Yehuda accepted the second shade of black, because somehow he wasn't going to risk this being a problem of Hidden Mitzvah. That didn't concern him for whatever reason. And the Chum were very, very concerned with Hidden Mitzvah, and therefore they said, it's not acceptable. To what degree did the Chachamim say it's not acceptable? What did the Chachamim mean when they say, no, you can't do this, Ere Shem in Amruchar? What's Pshat? To how serious did the Chachamim hold this to be a problem? Did the Chachamim view this as a problem l'chatchila? Did the Chachamim view this as a problem b'di'evet? L'ch'ora, what should this depend upon? L'ch'ora, how to read Gittin Daf Chaf? How to read Rav Achav Yaakov's beer in the Chachamim ultimately boils down to what your general take about Hidden Mitzvah is. If you think that Hidden Mitzvah is never Ma'akev, that's Taisa Shita, never ever, lo yitocheve should be Ma'akev, Hidden Mitzvah is only a Lechatchila, never more than a Lechatchila, which translates to mean the Rabbanim, i.e. in the worldview of the Ritva. If you really believe that anything that is not acceptable because of the mitzvah, it's only not acceptable because of l'chatchila, then the chora, this Sefer Torah, b'di'evet would be okay. And when the Chachamim said it's no good, they didn't really mean it's no good b'di'evet, it's no good l'chatchila. But if you go down Rashi's route, according to Rashi, it's yitochen, it is possible that Hidden Mitzvah is a problem b'di'evet. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. By Eger, it's only the Chachila. That's because it wasn't the Chisor, it wasn't deficient in the Chefts itself. It was only deficient in the Mais and the Tila. But whenever there's a Chisor in the Etzim HaChefza, it's very possible it's Machab Adiyah, like a Ruva Yomish. So this is a Chisor in the Chefza. The Chefza of the Sefer Torah doesn't look right. You look at the Sefer Torah and say, this is a bad job. This is a miserable job the Sefer did. He's got some letters black or some letters lighter. Doesn't look right. It's like the guy who's taking notes and he runs out there, he has to switch pens in the middle. He's got half of it written in one shade of black, half of it in blue, one is in red. Doesn't look nice. So the Chora, how to read Gittin Daf Chaf will depend upon the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the right way to read Gittin Daf Chaf?
What? The Lashon sounds like Tosos.
Oh, what's the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda? Oh, I'm sorry, what's the Lashon of the Chachamim?
It's not saying
possible. Yeah, it sounds like very like, it's not nice, guys. That doesn't look pretty. You didn't do such a great job. You're not so artistic. But is it possible? It sounds in the Lashon, Ein Hashem in HaMuvchar, a little bit like Tosos. That Hindu mitzvah is not really a possible. Can somebody play devil's advocate? Someone argue the other way.
Well, that's exactly why they disagree. I mean, the Chacham, I'm saying, the fact that it's not, right, that's why they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, are they saying we disagree, it doesn't look nice, and therefore it's possible? Or are they saying we disagree, that we don't like what you just said, because it's not right, lechachila? That's exactly a shaila.
No, but it sounds like they're, in this case, that they're passing that, no, it would be possible.
But,
right?
Okay, I mean, you're adding a line. You're in effect, all the Chacham said was the fine words. All we have documented was the Chacham responses, Ein Hashem in HaMuchar. So according to Tosfos, Judah says, that fits in beautifully. Ein Hashem in HaMuchar means, that's not a nice way of doing things. I didn't say possible. It's not nice.
Or sometimes
somebody asks me a shayla, and I hem and I haw, is it not recommended? You know, I don't think, maybe should do something else. Rabbi, also, if I want to say also, I don't want to say also. So it sounds almost like I'm dancing around Ein Hashem in HaMuchar. It sounds very much in sync with Tosfos.
Unless that's a requirement for a
sefer
Torah,
then it be minimal. Okay. We're getting onto something.
Can you also say that why wouldn't they agree with the Shita? Meaning, if it's only at this point, if they really hold it's not b'diyevah, then just say okay, then go ahead and do it.
Well, there's a far cry. Because the word b'diyevah means after the fact. The Chacham say we are never going to sanction such a sefer Torah. If the sefer comes to us, Rabbi, what should I do? We're going to say, take that whole piece and put it into Shabbos.
No,
and
no,
stuff.
I'm saying, then what's the machal?
Rabbi Yehuda says it's good lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's et negom lechatchila, and the Chacham is saying it's not nice. Can no tell me you're right if I can't?
No, maybe if Chacham don't have anything to do with our case, and just are saying this is dealing with Hashem.
Okay, you're ready. Two steps ahead. Can someone bring me a raya from the Gemara itself? That the phrase Ein Hashem Ramuchah does not mean the way Judah thought it meant. Ein Hashem Ramuchah, even though it's a very powerful lashon, means possible. The world did not start with Rav Acha Yaakov. He was not the first person to discuss this braisa. Rav Chisda already had a pshat in the braisa. What was Rav Chisda's pshat in the braisa? Rav Chisda thought that Rav Yehuda and Nechama were not arguing about Hidda Mitzvah. He thought they were arguing about Ksav Agav Ksav. The klal of Ksav Agav Ksav is that the araisa took a klal. It affects with the Yechayv Skila and Shabbos and Abbas. This is earlier on in Masechus Gittin. Rav Chisda is learning Pshat and Machlokes within the Chachamim as arguing about the details, the parameters of Ksav Agav Ksav. That Rabbi Yehuda said that as long as you're adding something to the new Ksav, that's okay. And therefore the get's going to be kosher. And the Chacham is saying, no. The Chacham is saying, you can't just add on a new dimension of spiritual Lishma and call it a day. That's still a Chisod. It's still is a deficiency of Ksav Agav Ksav. Within Rav Chisda's view, what did the phrase Ein Hashem Ramuchah mean? It meant Mamish Posel. It had to mean Posel. So the same way according to Rav Chisda, Ein Hashem Ramuchah meant Posel, it's not such a far cry to say that according to Rav Acham Yaakov, it also means Posel. Or unless one argues, as Judah's going to argue, I see his wheels are turning, he's going to argue, no, that's exactly why what? That was exactly behind whose line of reasoning? That's ultimately Rav Acham Yaakov rejected Rav Chisda. Now again, the Gemara doesn't present to us the screaming back and forth in Rav Chisda and Rav Acham Yaakov. The Gemara just says Rav Chisda had his taich in the brass, Rav Acham Yaakov had his pshat in the brass. But it could be that behind the scenes, Rav Acham Yaakov was so bothered Rav Chisda's pshat because it's so not munach in the words that he was willing to say, no, you have the wrong pshat in the brass. So the pshat must have to do with the lechachim that he did. So again, so you have tzitonu kalakad. We have on the one hand, we have the lush, and just linguistically, it sounds very, very lechetchilish. But Rav Chisda's version of that linguistic clearly didn't hold that way. So does that convince us that Rav Acha Yaakov was learning linguistically the same way or not? Hard to tell. So if you just read the Gemara Gid Nefchof, it's hard to tell one way or the other.
Rav Chisda didn't say kosher apostle. He just said bono machlokes.
But he must have meant kosher apostle because Ksav Agav Ksav is a real bona fide deraisa that didn't impact the Hilchos Shabbos.
But he could still be holding that the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is whether or not b'di'eved it counts as lashma. The fact that both of them would acknowledge that lechachilah counts lashma would impact Ksav Agav Ksav.
No, but Rav Chisda is claiming that Bonu l'machloikas. He's saying that my shaila in Gittin is ultimately the machloikas Rav Yehuda and the Chacham.
So if they both hold that lechachila, it works, right?
No. The Rabbanim for sure say it doesn't work lechachila. Maybe even b'di'evit.
No, if they both hold that b'di'evit, it works. That means that halachically it's significant.
So then that's not Bonu l'machloikas Rav Yehuda and the Chacham.
Bonu l'machloikas in lishma. Meaning, doesn't count l'shma l'chachila. Doesn't get worked by Sefer Torah.
You mean the same way, or a chizdenet was, that the same way they're fighting out l'chachila in the chizkitr, it's also l'chachila. I don't know. Pashas advarim is that, when if you really hold this is a chisaron, b'alam l'chachik means that if it's really chisaron of tzav, it's mamish no good, even with the raisa. That's the pashas thing. So again, I'm not committed one with you.
It seems to me, though, that one can argue that this is a chisaron in the maisa, not in the cheftza. Because in the cheftza, all the letters which are supposed to be there are there.
Yeah, but they don't look nice. That's the problem. That's good for the problem. You're right that they're there, but the maisa, they don't. At the end of the day, I look at Sefer Torah and say, this is funny looking.
But the question is, what happens if you have a sofa as a sloppy handwriting? Does that mean the same?
So again, there are dargis, right? So that becomes back to the last question. To what dargis, at what point do we say the buck stops here and it's possibly with the other, right? I can have an esrog that's not beautiful. You know, an esrog that's, I don't know, some people like gartel shapes, some don't like gartel shapes, something like that. I've seen a lot of esrogim out there that don't strike me as being gorgeous. On the other hand, I can't say the puzzle. So there's a fascinating chasam sofer on this sugya. The chasam sofer on Gittin of Chof Amid Aleph. But the Chassam Sofer is assuming that the pashas in the sugi is that the Chachamim really meant it's possible. It's real, real mekoy is possible. Ein Hashem Ramukha doesn't mean what you would have thought it meant. Really possible. The Afa Pichain says the Chassam Sofer. It doesn't pose a challenge to Tosis. You know what? Why did Tosis in the heart of soul think that Hidda Mitzvah is not really Ma'akev? Because Tosis probably held like who? Like the Ritva, the whole thing is there upon it. Why is it the mitzvah there about it? Doesn't say the Chumash that can't even veil. What's the answer? What's that to do with the mitzvah? Say can't even veil is part of the Shira Sayam. What does it have to do with that? Having a nice aluma. What does it have to do with having a nice spirit sittis? Vishnei mitzvahs in the pasuk. So that's chesam sofer. There's one din, there's one area of halacha where he do mitzvahs deraisa l'chol hadeis. And where is that? Zekeli v'yan veil. In the Ksiva Shem Hashem, in things that involve the Rabban Shalom's name, Kuleyama like Pliyavyan Veyu is a din deras, that's what the Eyud meant to say, right? That's what you started to say. Close. Okay, we continue on the Chassam Sofer guy. Zekeli is not Chassam Sofer, Zekeli Vyan Veyu. When they jump up and down, we're starting to sing, Zekeli Vyan Veyu, have to have in mind the Chassam Sofer. Zekeli Vyan Veyu is Chassam Sofer. In Ksiva Shem Hashem, it's Zicha deras, for sure deraisa. And since for sure it's a deraisa, so then the male thing, Yachim Vidyavet, I love the Ritva, you can't have the right says in that market. So of course it's back with the Yemen. All Tosha said is that the Tilas Lulav is not Zakeli Venveil. Tzitzis is not Zakeli Venveil. So with the Rabbanon, they extended the principle of Zakeli Venveil to include all Maisa mitzvahs, all Chabat Mishra mitzvah, but the love of the rice, it only applies to Zakeli and not anything else. A fascinating Shtilatar from the Chassam Sofer. We're going to hopefully come back to this Chassam Sofer a little bit later. There may be more that's Chassam Sofer than meets the eye.
Should there be a difference saying if it was a different word?
You're chopping now with the Chassam Sofer. You're saying, does the Chassam Sofer mean almost like a chuckle when you're a little bit like, he means because it's Shem Hashem?
Yeah.
But does he mean that maybe the whole Ksiv, the Sefer Torah, the Mezuzahs has a din like Zekeh and Benbe? Why is that?
It's all Shem Hashem.
That's what the Ramban, the famous Ramban, is that Dom, the Chumash writes. Now, what is it? There's a letter missing in the Sefer Torah. Why is it possible? It doesn't change anything anyway. What's the difference with the Dishon and Dishon? What might have to mean with the Bnei Seira Chayim? Who cares what their names were? Says the Ramban, is that Dom, the Chumash? No cares. The Ramban cares, because that's his name. Every letter of the Sefer Torah is part of the shame of the Ramban Shalom. The rise in halacha, it's not just a drush, it's just a tzadik kabbalah from the Ramban. There's a rise in halacha to that. That whatever is Torah, Torah is by definition Shem Hashem, l'moshel. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha. that you have to write Teres Hashem on Dava Hamuta Beficha. The Teres Shabbat says, whenever you write, it's a Teres Hashem, you're writing Divrei Torah, you're writing Psukim, so it has to be on a Dava Hamuta Beficha. It has to be on kosher animal skins. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, how do you know that the bottom of tefillin has to be made from kosher skins? You know, what's the mocha for that din? So Gemara says, a startling mocha. The Gemara says, what do you mean? It's a Pasuk Chumash. L'man tira Teres Hashem Beficha. What's the obvious kasha? Where does Teres Hashem in the bottom? Teres Hashem is on the parashiyas, but Teres Hashem is on the bottom. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why Teres Hashem is on the bottom. At least one of the two bottom. The Vayisah Shorosh. Says the Gemara, since there's Allah Moshe Mesinai, that you have to put a shin on the Shorosh, the Mela, that shin is nichlo in the Gzeras HaKlos, and L'man tira Teres Hashem Beficha. What's this for? What do I do there? The din is the man tia teres Hashem beficha. What does that have to do with the shin of the bias of the shorosh? What does that have to do with teres Hashem? That's a letter in the aleph base. What's that to do with teres Hashem? What's the bira dover in the Gemara? Valdig yisai, love the shavart. What's the Gemara saying? That shin is the representation of Shem Hashem. When there's a gzeres akosif of teres Hashem and Shem Hashem are synonymous in halacha. This is not, up in the air discussion. This is a piyavocha. Whenever there are dinim that are toyface Shem Hashem, those same dinim are identical to Teres Hashem. Teres Hashem and Shem Hashem are identical entities in halacha. Allah divrei Ramban, that the kol ter kulam, the aleph atof, the gracious, the lezeisa bracha, is al piyavocha the Shem of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's exactly what the Gemara Shabbat says. So that's the suffix every single is happening. How far, if this Samsofer is right, that there's something unique, that the regular din would be the mitzvah are all in the Rabbana, but by Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything changes, so the Samsofer meant only because this is quirk, this particular case, punk is Shem Hashem Mamish, or can we take the all expansive definition of Shem Hashem and come up with a Gavaldi Kechidish, that he do mitzvah in the Lulu Benesrig is the Rabbana, he do mitzvah in the Sukkot Sitz is the Rabbana, but he do mitzvah in the Pirach Tefillah, in the Parashat Tefillah is the Deraisa, he do mitzvah in the Sefer Mezuzah is the Deraisa. That's called Zekeh Ibn Veil. Not sure yet, but to be continued, a couple of Nikudas down. So again, so we have Rashi and Taisus back in the beginning of the third rank of Sukkah. We have a Gemara Masechet Gittin that seems to point in one direction. We're not sure which direction it's pointing in. So we're still searching. We're still looking for sources. Is he the mitzvah ma'akev or not? Which is at least according to the Ritva, just another way of rephrasing, is he the mitzvah deraisa derabon? So let's take a look now at one of the pivotal Gemaras, one of the most famous Gemaras that he's the mitzvah. That's the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. It's a Gemara that appears in Rabbi Eliezer the Mila. If you've been at a bris on Chanukah, and the father's Shtikl Tamar Chacham, he probably spoke about this, because this is like the number one drasha for a Chanukah bris. But it starts out on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis in Shabbos. The Gemara is addressing the din of a person doing a bris, and obviously when you do a bris, you're supposed to remove the entire Orha Orla. And then the Mishnah draws some very, very fine lines between how much of the Orha Orla has to be removed if the child is no longer called an Orel. So the Mishnah says that if depending on how much it's called tzitzin. Tzitzin means a little like a strand of skin. So if the tzitzin are still covering over a robe of the atara, which is also a lamdash question, exactly where that nikud is. If the tzitzin, if some of the flesh, some of the oral has not been removed, and robe of the atara is still covered, so then the child is mamshin oral. Then the bris is mamshin ogur min atara. If robe of the atara is no longer covered, so then the kid is not really an oral. On the other hand, it doesn't look very nice. That's what the Mishnah describes the difference between tzitzin ma'akvedes amila and tzitzin she'ei ma'akvedes amila. Ma'akved means that there's so much left that the atara is still covered over halachically, and therefore the kid's mamshin or the bris is completely commanded leisa. And otherwise, you have a situation where it's basically completed, but there's still a few tzitzin here and there that are left. The tzitzin she'ei ma'akvedes amila. Those who've been in any bris have hear those words of Rabbi Katzenstein ringing out, or Rabbi Lemuel ringing out, Niskalsa HaTorah Mazel Tov. That's this Gemara. That's Mamshin. Okay, Skalatot or Malzov saying that Baruch Hashem, no, the tzitzit, at least those tzitzit them hakev, at least have been removed in front of the meal is kosher. Okay. So the Gemara has the following dinner, the Afkuf Lam Gimel Beis, the second line for the time. The Tadar Rabbah. Hamal, a person doing a bris. Kol's man shu oisek b'milu. He's involved in the meal. He hasn't stopped the meal yet. What does that mean? Even though he finished, basically. So there's a nuance in Rishonim. Maybe he still has the knife in his hands. Other possibilities. Not clear exactly what it means. He's still oisek b'milu. But if he's still in that stage being oisek b'milu, choyzer. Then he goes back to fix up the bris. So then he goes back to everything. If he hasn't finished the job yet, he should continue and do a good, clean job. Piresh, if he already stopped, and again, unclear exactly what that means, does that mean he put the knife down? Does it mean he did the mitzitza? Does it mean he started to bandage the baby? A lot of different possibilities. But whatever halachically is called piresh, so now the Braisa draws a distinction. Al tzitzit ma'akbar esamila choyzer, al tzitzit she'ei ma'akbar esamila inu choyzer. If the tzitzit ma'akbar, he did a lousy, miserable job in the kitzel oro, I don't care what it is, in the middle of eating his bagel and lox, he better go back and finish up the bris mila. But if anyway what's left is not so terrible anyway, it's not ma'akiv anyway, the kid's not normal anyway, it's nishkefer lach. So Kol's man that he was pirish, that he doesn't go back. I'd count it in the braisa. So again, vis-a-vis tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, you always go back. Vis-a-vis tzitzin she-ma'akvin, it all hinges upon your pirish and ha-ma'akvin. I'd count it in the braisa. So Rashi adds one word to the braisa. Braisa doesn't say, Rashi says it's intuitively obvious. That the Braisa is talking about what? Take a look at the Rashi, three lines in the top. What does Rashi say? Hamal b'Shabbos. What led Rashi to say talk about Shabbos? Two reasons. First of all, it's in Masech Shabbos. First of all, most of the practice deals with the Mila b'Shabbos. But there's something much more profound that led Rashi to say that. What is it? What led Rashi to believe that
why
the Braisa...
Why do
you go back?
Why don't you go back?
Go back. Always go back. So the guy's eating his lox, the bagel lox. Go back. It's a cheder mitzvah. Isn't the bris supposed to look nice? So of course you go back. What's the shaila? Eloa, what's Bob and Rashi? It's a Shabbos. And on Shabbos, Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. That's an unbelievable Chiddush HaTorah. Not for the Chiddush HaTorah. In a million years, I wouldn't have said it's Decha Shabbos. It's Chavol, it's a Nisra Deraisa. To do a Mila Shaloi, Kavach and Shabbos, it's a Nisra Gomez, it's a Skila. So what's Rashi saying? That we're not going to let you go back just stomp for nothing. If it's tzitzit ma'akvin, we're going to do so. Then you didn't do the meal yet. Of course you have to go back even Shabbos afternoon. But if you're already yaitse the meal, what are you going back for? What's the great tzarech to go back on Shabbos? Nothing. Almost nothing. Hiddur. Why would you go back? For hiddur. What's the answer? What's Rashi saying? Can you go back for hiddur mitzvah?
No.
Rashi seems to be learning. You can't go back for hiddur mitzvah. You have no right to go back for the mitzvah. Because Rashi implied if it was a Tuesday, you would go back. Why would you go back? Because of Hidda Mitzvah. So even though it's Hidda Mitzvah, we're not, Hidda Mitzvah is not a justification of the Chol Shabbos. That's, we just bedike those last 20 lines in that one word Rash. Rashi says B'Shabbos. Nobody called Rashi as B'Shabbos, but it's clear according to Rashi as B'Shabbos, because otherwise B'Shabbos is a push of going back. Because it's Hidda Mitzvah, you have to go back. But even though there's a tzarech b'dim mitzvah, it's a hidim mitzvah kufa zah b'dim mitzvah. So what's the one challenge for the word of Rashi? If hidim mitzvah zah b'dim mitzvah, then what's the kasha? There's a loose end.
Why can't you do it if you weren't pirish?
If you weren't pirish, why let it go back for? What's the answer?
Still on myself.
So the chari, you have to say some kind of razzle dazzle. Along does that, no, it's still nichol on your original maisa. That's the same maisa kol Shabbos. So you're not going back, you're not doing something new. Even though you may be drawing a few more blood, drops of blood, but halachically it's all nichol in the original ma'aseh chol shabbos. That's okay. That's covered. So that's pshat and rashi. No question about it. So a gevaltig chiddush emanates from rashi. But something can be required by halacha because of hidden mitzvah. The afa bichein, you don't. It's not machal shabbos. That's not techa shabbos. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, before he even bothers to tell you that Mila is Decha Shabbos. In the flow of the Rambam, Ruchas Mila, take a look. So the Rambam quotes this in two places. He quotes about Mila B'Shabbos, and he even quotes it before we even know this is Mila B'Shabbos. Implying, obviously, what? That this din applies Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. When the Gemara says, it's Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akbas Mila Piresh Ein Echezer, Dr. Rambam in a chayzer on Tuesday afternoon. One out.
Sarah's baby.
What?
Probably medical risk.
Sarah's baby. Hit the mitzvah. Hit the mitzvah.
What's that?
But hit the mitzvah. How do you go back? What?
This is
a pretty big tzarech. This is a hidden mitzvah. You let the women get earrings.
It's not
hidden
mitzvah.
It's not what? You are chayav to do mitzvah. What?
It's not hidden mitzvah.
Oh, Jesus, it's not hidden mitzvah. It's clearly according to Rambam doesn't qualify as hidden mitzvah. Why not?
You're done with the mitzvah.
Hidden mitzvah clearly according to Rambam has to take place in the context of the mitzvah itself.
Not after.
You can't do the mitzvah tonight, do the hidu next year. Hidu mitzvah means for mahad v'shasa mitzvah. So kozman, it's low pH, that's still called the shasa mitzvah. Once it's over, then there's no hidu mitzvah anymore.
Why can't you say that it's like we said before, but yeah, meaning that once it is hidu mitzvah, but it's not, you don't have to go back just to the mahadar. Meaning you already go to the mitzvah.
So yeah, but I'm good. I'm sure to the mitzvah. But don't I have a mitzvah? Doesn't say Caleb and Pharaoh screw me to say to go back? So the answer is no, it doesn't, because this is not called halacha, the hidden mitzvah. This is just chavala b'alma. You don't gain anything. If you don't gain anything, you're hechateis, you're allowed to wound the child. That's clear the Rambam Shita. That's the only way possible to explain why the Rambam says you don't go back on Tuesday. Like, hechateis, why not?
But it's bigger for the rest of the end result, not during the mice.
So you are in the chavit of Beis Halevi's ha'ara that along the Shoshana is the mitzvah bris mila, the maisa mila, or is the result? Namely, right now, I'm past 50, not way past 50, a little bit past 50. Am I being yaitse the mitzvah bris mila myself right now? Because I'm a whole? The mitzvah bris mila was done by the mayor 50 plus years ago. That's a very long to Shoshana. The mitzvah bris mila.
I mean, if you had a person who wasn't a person who was, let's say, an Amy Yehudi who did the mila and he did it on the eighth day, so the person is mal.
Now here's another question. There's a whole other question. The mila that was done shalom kashrus, does that count as a mila? It's a whole other ball game.
But if you're mal, you're mal.
No. It could be that's not called being mal because the mila wasn't done kedim. That's a whole other dimension. It's important dimension. So let's get back to this round again. Let's just begin. After you know, digest this Rambam for a minute. So the Rashi told us that a father on Tuesday you go back. What's the Shaila? And the Rambam says, no, you don't. And the only way the Chayyim to explain the Rambam is because you can't have the mitzvah out of the context of a mitzvah. Why didn't the Rambam learn like Rashi? Isn't it the Pashas like Rashi? Come on, I mean, between you and me. Your initial reaction was, Rashi's right. It's a Pasha that Rashi's right. Why didn't the Rambam learn like Rashi? Why didn't the Rambam learn that? You go back on Tuesday, you just don't go back on Shabbos. What's Munach from the Rambam?
You would go back for a Hidden Mitzvah.
You would go back for a Hidden Mitzvah. Pashas, according to the Rambam, if it would be a Hidden Mitzvah, you would go back for it. So Rabbi say there are two machlokes now that emanating from this Rashi and the Rambam. And this the whole Shtickel Torah is built on one word of Rashi, against one place where the Rambam put the halacha pre Mila B'Shabbos. That's the entire statement of the Rishonim in this topic. Rashi has one word, the Rambam has one placement of halacha, and all of a sudden we have two machlokes that are emanating from. Number one machlokes is he the mitzvah B'Shabbos? That's Shaila number one. Is he the mitzvah B'Shabbos? According to Rashi, the answer is no. Because he the mitzvah exists, Torah, you go back on Tuesday, but he the mitzvah is not the B'Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it is Eichah Shabbos. That's exactly where the Rambam veered off of Rashi's Pshat. That's Machlokes number one. Machlokes number two is this Gevalt Yechidish of the Rambam that you cannot separate Hida from the mitzvah itself. Which Rishon obviously doesn't buy into that? Rashi. Because Rashi's envisioning doing the mitzvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, having breakfast, having lunch, coming back 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and fixing it up. And that's perfectly okay according to Rashi. So there are two Machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam here. Is there a connection between these two machlokes? Are these two machlokes related to one another?
It's really the same machlokes because you want hitter at the end of the day. So how do you get to hitter at the end of the day? So according to Rambam, you need to go back on Shabbos because otherwise you won't end up with hitter at the end.
According to Rambam, you can't go. You can never go back. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Tuzah. You don't go back. Rashi says you're allowed to go back on Tuesday. You don't go back on Shabbos. So double machlokes. Machlokes in hidur is hidur shayach out of the context of the mitzvah, and a second seemingly unrelated. It's almost like coincidental. Two machlokes converge together, but they don't seem to be related to one another. They don't seem to be dependent upon one another.
According to the Rambam, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah itself.
Okay, so now we're talking. Now we're talking. So,
is this what we talked about last week, though? Because when we're talking about we're talking about how there's most of, it's the mitzvah with the object of mitzvah. So usually we said that it was all the examples, sukkah, tzitzisna, tfilma.
Those were chassas.
Those were chassas. But this would be the case of the Rambam, we were talking about before, if you're saying it's the mitzvah of the mitzvah, that needs to be done. So that, what would it be? Hinder mitzvah. The same way you shake your lulav, it has to be the naga. Otherwise, you have all the dal mitzvah, you're not shaking it. Yeah. As opposed to once it's already finished, whether or not that is the mitzvah itself, is the ches of the mitzvah going forward, whether or not.
You're touching on it's almost like a tricky brisk of art. When does a gaffer become a chetza? Right? I mean, is the baby's a chetza shema? You know the answer to that question. It's a bad joke, but it's a bad joke. You know what it is? Maybe yes, Mashallah, God from comes to Chefta. So it's almost a nuance of, are we viewing Bris Mila through the eyes of God from Maisa Gabra or the Chefta of Mila? So basically, let's just focus on like two Machlokesim again for a second. So we have two Machlokesim that are converging together, but at first glance don't seem to be dependent upon one another. So there has been a Shtikl Torah that has been floating around in the world for already about 150 years. It has come in different gulgulim, in different versions, in different nuances. It started with the Beis HaLevi. His Levi was the first one who discovered this Rashi in the Rambam. So, I mean, people knew before. He's the first one who started to make these observations of the Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Then the Briska Rav, two generations later, Chaim's son Briska Rav, so elaborate upon this in his Perush in the Rambam. He also picked up in this Rashi in the Rambam, took it one step further. And not identical to what his grandfather said, but along similar lines. And then it almost reached fruition a little bit later. Take a look at the Sefer Mishnah's Yavetz, Rav Jolti. Rav Jolti starts over the Beis HaLevi, continues Mishnah up, and puts the whole final package together. So that's what I'm always weary. I'm always not sure who to quote on this one. So this is the it's a work in progress of 150 years that basically boils down. We're going to present it in its final forms of Jolti presents it. That only what's going on here is something very, very fundamental, something very, very essential. There is a fundamental question here as to how to view the relationship between Hidur Mitzvah and the Mitzvah itself. Yesh lachkor, yesh ladun. What is the nature of this din of Zekeinu? Does the Kenim and Veyomim be understood in one of two ways? Does the Kenim and Veyomim mean that I'm supposed to wear tzitzis? I stay in the Torah, you have to put tzitzis on. When I wear tzitzis that look miserable, and I wear tzitzis that look beautiful, it's the identical mitzvah of tzitzis. There isn't an iota of difference between the tzitzis that are nice and tzitzis in terms of the mitzvah from tzitzis. Eloah. The fellow who's wearing the not such nice looking tzitzis is fulfilling tzitzis b'shlemuso. But what's he missing? He's not fulfilling a second kiyum. He's not fulfilling a separate distinct mitzvah. He can't even obey. Tzitzis is tzitzis. It's four strings. Right strings, right place, l'shma. It met all the criteria of tzitzis. That's it. That's tzitzis. Samur b'tayra. The person has a mezuzah on his door, but it's nice, not so nice. That's chasam mezuzah. The guy who spent the extra $20 on the nice mitzvah also chaps around another mitzvah, so to speak, another quasi-kiyum of the Kevin Beer, which the other fellow lost out. That's one way of understanding Hidu Mitzvah. What's the other way of understanding Hidu Mitzvah? Hidu Mitzvah is not a separate kiyum. What is Hidu Mitzvah? Hidu Mitzvah is an enhancement of that mitzvah proper. There's a different color, there's a different tzitzis. My tzitzis and your tzitzis are not the same tzitzis. Your tzitzis are kosher, my tzitzis are kosher plus. But I have tzitzis that have a hudr, that's a greater key in all tzitzis. Zekem is not a mitzvah from Yatzma. Zekem and Veyu is an enhancement of the original Dovashal mitzvah. Nope. How does this basic hakir explain both machlokes Rashi and Rambam? Mamash neshitasa. Rashi understood that hidu mitzvah is not dechei Shabbos. Hidu mitzvah, yeah, it exists, but it's not dechei Shabbos. Why is it not dechei Shabbos? Why isn't hidu mitzvah dechei Shabbos? I'll tell you why. Because the Torah doesn't say zekel and bay was dechei Shabbos. The Torah says meal is dechei Shabbos, not zekel and bay.
It's a separate thing.
It's a separate mitzvah. This exists because of the yom filu b'shabbos. Meal with the shem shmini dechei Shabbos. Zekel and bay was dechei Shabbos. So Rashi understood zekel and bay was a separate kiyum. Wow, chat with dechei Shabbos. But what follows from Rashi's premise? I mean, it's a separate, distinct kiyum. How can it can express itself even in the absence of what? I can do mitzvah of meal at 8 o'clock in the morning and the hidden mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll do parshas lech lecha in the morning and parshas b'shalach in the afternoon. What's the difference? What's the problem?
So it's connected enough. You can
do Shabbos. So Rashi seems to be almost driving that way, driving a separation. The two different kiyumim, and it's two different kiyumim. Therefore, it's not the Shabbos, but it's two different kiyumim. It can have a life in and of itself. It's not meshubah, it's not mechuyav to be tied to the mitzvah. Which state in the Rambam? What's the Rambam Shita? The Rambam says, hidden mitzvah, if it exists, what? If it exists, then what?
Part of the mitzvah.
It's Deicha Shabbos. If and when it exists, it's Deicha Shabbos. Therefore, the Rambam couldn't learn Rashi's Shabbos. Because in Tzimtzum, you go back on Tuesday, then it's Deicha Shabbos. Why is it Deicha Shabbos? How can the Rambam say Deicha Shabbos? It's not the mitzvah. What's the answer? It is the mitzvah. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah itself. It is nichol. Anytime you beautify a milah, that is a kiyum of a yemesh minimum, of a sarah losan. Even though the kiyum is very mahol, the yemesh is mahol, but you're enhancing is vayter a mitzvah. But what follows according to the Rambam? What's the, where does he, the mitzvah, lose out? Because it's so meshubah to the mitzvah, where does it lose out?
It's separate.
And you can't have it separate from the mitzvah. I can't have it for the mitzvah. It's not that there's no mitzvah, Vedav Shem HaShalem, or Hini Mucham Zul Mashem, mitzvah Zekele Verveh. Zekele Verveh is not a mitzvah. Zekele Verveh is a prop, it's a detail in the Maisa Mitzvah. If the Maisa Mitzvah was done at 8 o'clock, that Shaykh to be Mahadad Mitzvah 8 hours later. So these two Machlakes and Rashi, the Rambam Mamash told us it was there.
I don't understand Rashi. If Rashi, we're saying according to Rashi, it's always a separate mitzvah. So why is Lulav Yavish possible?
Wait, again, hold on. There's all the introduction. We didn't get to the punchline yet. Sure. I said before, I made a very quick reference to the fact that this is the Shtikul Torah that's set on Chanukah, Bris Chanukah. Why? Why is this the Shtikul Torah set on Bris Chanukah? Because the Bris Karav said that based on this Shaila, whether you can separate a Hiddur from the mitzvah itself, is the Machloikes, the Rambam, and the Ramah about how to light Mahadur and Mahadur. There were three Shitas in Rishon how to light Mahadur and Mahadur. Places hold that one menorah for the entire family. But we don't hold that way. Ashkenaz don't hold that way. We all know menorahs for all members of the family. Who does the lighting of all those menorahs? So we know what we do. What do? I light one, the kid lights one. Everyone lights their own menorah. That's the Ramah's version of Mahadur and Rahadur. And the Ramah supposedly quoting the Rambam until you actually open up the Rambam and see that's not what the Rambam says. B'chlav. The number of candles is the same, but who does the lighting? Announces the Balabais is Madli Kineged Kol Echad Mibnei Beis Hai. According to the Rambam, you put up 10 menorahs in the window, and the Balabas spends the next 20 minutes lighting all the menorahs. What's the nuance of Machlokes? How come the Ramah, what we do, standard practice Ashkenazi homes, is that everyone lights their own menorah? And according to the Rambam's version of Mahadur and Mahadur, only the Balabas lights. Zok to Bisharav, what's the answer? The Rambam Lashitosai. Because the Rambam holds that Hidur can't be separate from the Ikra Mitzvah. The same way the Rambam in Kuflam and Gimel and Shabbos says you can't separate Hidur from the mitzvah vis-a-vis Zman, you can't separate it vis-a-vis Gavra either. You can't have one guy does the mitzvah, another guy does the Hidur. Well, that doesn't make any sense. There's no Hidur whatsoever. I can do Hidur as a separate entity. What does that have to do with the original Hadlokah? There's no Tzif, there's no Shaychos between my kids' Hadlokah and my Hadlokah. So the Hidur is meaningless according to the Rambam. Only the Baal Bas lights them all doesn't make any sense. And why does the Ramah Nuchus Chanukah disagree Zok to Biskarab? Because the Ramah Nuchus Mila Paskin's like who? Paskin's like. So Rabbi Yisrael, getting back to Esther. This is all the introduction. Rabbi Yisrael, Hayyitim and Advarim, a few Nakudas that are relevant for us. This whole Shtickl Torah that's been in the making for 150 years puts Rashi into what team? Into what understanding of Hidur Mitzvah? Makes Rashi view Hidur Mitzvah very much as a separate and what? A distinct kiyum from the mitzvah itself. That doesn't bode well for us. Why does that Shtickl Torah of 150 years in making not bode well for us? Why not? The only way to ever explain Hidur Mitzvah being ma'akev is to stick Hidur Mitzvah and mamash marry it to the mitzvah itself. To say that Hidur Mitzvah is such an integral part of the mitzvah, go for it, then you can discuss being ma'akev. If Hidur Mitzvah is al zeke li mi'anveh was al bezum derekiyam is a separate kiyam, what's shachar ma'akev? How can that be ma'akev? So of all Rishonim, we would have expected to come so strong down on the side that Hidur Mitzvah is mamish part of the mitzvah proper, the last one we would have thought would argue with that is Rashi. Rashi is the one who does argue. One word in Rashi. Hamal Bishabas. That one word in Rashi got the whole ball rolling. 150 years in the making of a Shtickl Torah. And that one word in Rashi does us in. In terms of everything we've been saying in Rashi last week. Last week in Rashi we presented, Rashi is the big belief in the mitzvah, so important, it's part of the chetz, it's part of the mitzvah, it's got everything. Doesn't seem to fit with Rashi's version on Kuf Lamed Gimel. L'chora, what do you have to say? According to Rashi. A throwback to what we said last week. Not all Hidur mitzvah are created equal. There are dargas within Hidur mitzvah. Some Hidur mitzvahs are part of the chetz itself, and a deficiency disqualifies the etzem chetza. And that's Rashi and Ulva Gozel. And other Hidur mitzvahs are not really deficiencies in the Chefza itself, are almost separate, distinct kiyumim, and those are not ma'akev. Rashi agrees that sometimes in the midst of ma'akev, that's like what Sugi Yidalef, you can't argue with that. So, no matter what, you have to fall back on, even within the world of Rashi, there are different levels of Hidur Mitzvah. We already said this last week, the different kinds of Hidur Mitzvah and Rashi, but last week we focused on what kind of differences. How did we highlight the categories? We said, the Gemara Yidalef doesn't bother me because that's Hidur Mitzvah, that's not so important, that's not really the Mitzvah, what, but that's a Hidur in the what? Maisa. That's a Hidur in the Maisa Mitzvah. That's harder to say in Rashi here in Shabbos. That's much more difficult to say in Rashi and Shabbos. So, there's no question there are darkas of Hidur Mitzvah, according to Rashi. Because otherwise, this Rashi and Shabbos, Rashi and Sukkot, is mamash on two different sides of the two extremes in their view of Hidur Mitzvah. Rashi and Shabbos is taking Hidur Mitzvah out of the realm of Mitzvah, making it as a separate, distinct kiyum. And Rashi and Sukkot sticking it right back into the Mitzvah, making it an integral part that's not going to be of it. So there's no question there are dargas in Hidur Mitzvah. But the dargas that we identified last week may not be the correct one. That fancy schmancy, you know, vice versus chepsa kind of stuff may not be right. Maybe we have to revamp the categories in light of everything that we learned today. Do we have any other revamping of categories now? Now we have tzitzit shenem akvin on the one hand. We have tzitzit shenem akvin. And what other things do we have? We have a lulav without an eged. We have all those kinds of, you know, those kinds of hiddurs. And then we have the hiddurs of Lulav Yavish. Wherein lies the difference between the two hiddurs? I don't want to go down the route of Maisa versus Chavtim because it's not going to fit for the Tzitzin. What is the difference between a Lulav Yavish in contrast to Tzitzin She'edim Ha'akmas?
You say Lulav Yavish, you could say it's no longer together Lulav.
But so yeah. I think we read that rule last week. That was the Raivi. We don't want to go down that route yet. That's in sukkahs to come. Rashi didn't say it's not called the chavetz of a lulav. Some Rishonim said it. Some Rishonim said it's like taking air.
One is like a negative, and one is a positive.
Oh, the Rav said something along those lines. sometimes you have an item that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not beautiful. It's almost like the secretary gave a model, gave a marshal before. Sometimes, you know, you see a cipher, everything is written kadasa kadim. There's nothing wrong, but it's just, some people have nicer handwriting than others. It's just not beautiful. It doesn't strike you as good. Sometimes look at a sefer, it just strikes you as gorgeous. Like you have an artist that paints a picture. So sometimes, you know, I'm not such an artistic understanding, so you know, I look at the Mona Lisa, okay, you know, it looks like a picture of a lady, you know, I'm smiling, not smiling, yes, but people who understand art, this is unbelievable. So sometimes you have a picture that is gorgeous. So you have a picture, it's not so gorgeous, like wrong with it. And then you can have imagine another piece of art. Somebody spilled some ink in the middle of the picture. In certain times of art, that was like a mile, you know. Certain worlds of art, that was like the greatest thing. That looks messy. But there are diagnoses of lack of beauty. Sometimes lack of beauty is you're lacking something positive, and sometimes lack of beauty is a negative. It's a gab. It's almost like a mum. So the Rav suggested along those lines that it could be, zeh ken v'en veil, depends. If it's a type of a gab, it's a mum. You take one look at this lulav, this is a lousy little lulav. It's a white, dried out, brittle, it's falling apart. That's an ugly lulav. A lulav that's not tied properly, it's not an ugly lulav. It's a messy lulav. It could look a little nicer. I could have combed his hair, could have stuffed his shirt, and it could look a little nicer. But it doesn't look terrible. It's like a guy walks in, you have a guy who's a little, you know, his shirt's falling out, tips falling out, and it looks a little messy. The guy walks in with a big black stain on his shirt. There's a difference between the two. So tzitzit she'ein makas anila may be closer to the model of the eged than it is to the lulav hayavish. So that may be a whole nother way to say Rashi. So again, it's similar to last week that there are dargas of hider according to Rashi. There's no question there are dargas because the Gemara Yidal says it's not makas, Rashi says hider is makas. So there are differences of degrees of hider. Where you draw the line, what that line of demarcation is, last week we went down one beer, and now in light of everything we've been learning up to, now we're going down a potentially second beer. I want to leave with one question to think about. Let's jump in next week. It's clear from some Rishonim, at least, that Hidur Mitzvah is not Dechah Shabbos. It's clear. And it's clear from the Ritva. He the bits is not even deraisa, so without deraisa, it's not even shakos, not deicha shabbos. So there's no question that Rishonim hold that Hidu mitzvah is not deicha shabbos, either because it's just not deicha shabbos, even though it's deraisa, because it's a separate kiyum, or it's not deicha shabbos because it's not even deraisa, only derabanan. I don't get a chance to look at that Gemara Maseches Menachos. The Gemara talks about the following scenario. We'll be close enough. This Gemara tells the following shalom. There's a certain carbon is deicha shabbos. A lot of carbon is deicha shabbos. Carbon is tibur is deicha shabbos. So they shechted the carbon. They haven't yet done the zrikas adam. And then they realize, and this wasn't such a nice looking animal, it's a little shvach animal, it's a much nicer animal. What do you do? You know what the Gemara says? You shecht the nicer animal right then and there. What are you doing by shechting that nicer animal? Mechal Shabbos deraisa. Why? There's no need to shecht that animal. You shechted the first animal already. If you're ready to zrik adam, then it's over. There's nothing to rectify. But you haven't yet zrik adam. So it's better to shech the second animal in order to be yaitse what? What do you gain by shechting the second animal?
I'm
a veyhudr. It's a kelim. You beautify the mitzvah. If it was a shvach animal, it's a nicer animal. And what did the Gemara say? Kuzun teik. It'll be deicha Shabbos for that. Deicha Shabbos. What happened to Shittas Rashi that the mitzvah is not deicha Shabbos? What happened to Shittas Ritva that either it's not even deraisa? How in the world could the Gemara say to be Deicha Shabbos on something that's not a deraisa? It's never Deicha Shabbos, it's a separate kiyum. Let's try that. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. Next week, we'll try to put the final touches on the sugya, and then we'll be answering that question, and hopefully, that's Shem will start with the next sugya.